All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I got a special guest in the house once again. Look, this is a pro boxer slash bare knuckle boxer. She's got a big fight coming up February 5th, and that's Super Bowl weekend. I know y'all know, so y'all still got to tune in. I got Britton Hart in the house. Thanks for coming, Britton.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm glad to talk to you again. I know we talked earlier, but you know, you definitely get to witness it firsthand. It's been crazy. So definitely been putting that work in. Definitely trying to make Knuckle Mania the biggest and best event for 2021, despite the Super Bowl, even though that's huge, exciting news with Tampa Bay being like the first team to compete in their hometown. So the
Yeah.
energy there is just going to be unreal, and I'm ready to make it even more unreal and world shocking.
Okay, well, since me and you've been talking, and the last time I know we had a couple of little technical difficulties and getting back up, like, how has training been going for you? Intense? Was it been kind of a like a new thing for you? Anything you've been adding to your camp that's been new, or has it just been like something natural coming to you? Everything exciting?
It is exciting. I definitely will say that. The format is different. So it's kind of like the reason why I chose to come out here and come to California in the first place is because I wanted to be something out of my comfort zone. I wanted my body to be shocked. I wanted my body to do something new and something that no one else thought was capable. So, I mean, I really felt like that journey to California was necessary. So it has been kind of getting used to that. It's been different, but a good different, definitely a good different. So, getting used to that. I mean, my coach yesterday in practice, the first time he was like, you know, this is gonna kill you. And, you know, I did a lot. I think I surprised them with the intensity I came out with. But yesterday, during our strength and conditioning, he was like, wow, Brittany, you just flew through that. Like you're moving through these. And it's really cool to see because, you know, the things that we're doing are kind of, you know, I don't want to give away any secrets, but we do kind of the same thing on a week basis. And so you can see your body getting better. You can see your body adapting to it. And that's the exciting process that I'm kind of getting at right now. So it took 2 or 3 weeks to kind of be like, wow, my body was in complete shock zone. And now it's adjusting. And now I'm really being built up way stronger than I've ever been.
Okay, since you bring that up now, I want to ask you something about that. Like you say, you do this, you've been doing the same thing over and over. Like, how important is it for you as a fighter, or even, just as an athlete, to kind of have repetition in your camp to get, does it help you get better and better, right?
I think so. My typical camps in the past have actually been kind of like everything was different every day. Like I never knew what I was really doing. And it was kind of like not a bad thing, but it was kind of like some chaos involved in it. You know, we're doing this and then next week we're doing this. And, you know, you always had to be thinking and like quick on your feet about it. Which, you know, I'm not saying is wrong or bad. It was just different. So this one, it has been more repetitive, like you just said. And I like it in the fact that it is a really good benchmark. It's something to really see that, you know, like practice makes perfect, kind of going back to that, you know, that thing. And, you know, or the person who has one great, you know, one great punch or one great kick is better than someone who knows 20,000. They're just not doing it the right way. So it's kind of going back to that, that mentality and way of thinking. And I really like it. And I can see my body adapting to it and becoming really great at what we have in mind rather than doing this one day and doing this another day and whatever.
Okay. And me and you've already talked before, so I know the answer to this, but since you're new to my channel, give everybody a little bit of background on how you got into combat sports.
Yeah, so definitely a unique background. You know, I was born in Utah, and then I moved to Turkey and Germany and lived there until I was 10. And then when I moved to the United States, you know, obviously it was a lot harder of an adjustment. But in the meantime, I was definitely playing sports. I played soccer over in Germany, and that was probably my first love when it comes to sports. So I kind of found myself trying to to fix being bullied and being different through sports. And sports was something that brought, like, brings people together regardless of, you know, ethnic, gender, social class. Like, it's so crazy. You can walk into the store and be wearing a Panthers jersey and someone will be like, oh, you know, they suck, or, oh, awesome, keep pounding. Mm-hmm. It's just something that unifies people. So I found that early on. So because of that notion and wanting to belong and be unified, it kind of, you know, it progressed me to be, you know, I definitely got my fair share of fights, but it was, you know, more so me being the bully of the bullies. So like when someone was being mean to someone else, I would be the one to step in. I always had my friends' backs and so forth. But, you know, I had children young because I went through a lot of problems as a teenager. And, you know, then after that, I was like, wow, I still wanted to be involved in sports. So I ended up getting my degree in sport management. And still, you know, shit, life, nothing hits harder than life. So yeah, that's like, yeah, such a true statement. Like, so life hits hard, and it hit me really hard, and it made me go to a boxing gym to kind of find peace or find somewhere to belong, because I was going through such a hard time. And when I was in there, the coach at the time was like, wow, you could turn pro and make money. So I didn't do amateurs or anything like that. I just jumped in it as a, you know, a means to an end on some bad things that were going in my life. But once I stepped in my first professional fight, it was like, this is why all this happened. Like, all this stuff that's happened my whole life led me here. And this is where I truly belong. And it's been, as you can see, in the last 5 years, I've done nothing but prove that. You know, I fight anybody. I've fought, you know, world champions. I've been main event. I've been on TV. I keep coming back. You know, I have a don't quit mentality. All my fights have been really, really close, or, you know, nonetheless, I feel like some I was robbed of, but, you know, I never let it be an excuse. And I've really, you know, I had to kind of learn on the job. And, you know, they said that earlier in my career, and now I'm to the point, like, where any job you have, like, my hard work's paying off, and I'm being promoted, as to, you know, to speak. And now I really feel like I earn and deserve to be at the top. And I'm here to show everybody on February 5th why I deserve to be on the top, and more importantly, why I deserve to stay on the top.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. I agree with you on that. Like, we talked about this last time, and I kind of wanted to bring that up again. Being able to go straight to pro, I know some people say, oh, you need an amateur background, but for you, it was kind of good to do that, because it kind of put you right in there. And like we talked about before, like padded records, you just went straight in there. You faced top level competition on your level. And each time it was kind of like a learning experience, right? So there was a lot of good that came from that, right?
Oh yeah, hands down. You know, I'm not saying that everyone can do it, but for the people who really strong willed, then yeah, absolutely. Cause I never got the easy breaks. You know, I never got, like you said, the padded records, or, you know, with being amateur, it's kind of different. So, you know, when I went in the pros, it was just, you know, you got to do this. So no, you're exactly right. And some of those people, you know, I've seen it before. Some fighters are awesome in the ring. Like, they're really good and in practice and sparring, but they go to their first competition, they walk out and they get in there and they don't throw one punch. And it's not that they're not capable of it, because they are. It's just, it's a weird, different type of feeling if you haven't been in it before. And for me, it was just like, again, it was like natural where I belong. I didn't have to worry about, well, you know, oh, this isn't, you know, an easy person, or whatever they're thinking in the amateurs, you know. But a lot of people, and you know what, another good point of that is too, a lot of people underestimate me because of that. So when I come in, you know, when you have a girl that's like, oh, she has 66 fights in amateur, you're like, oh shit, she's, you know, whatever. But for me, they're like, oh, this girl's just off the streets. She doesn't know how to fight. She's never been in the gym. She doesn't have an amateur background. So I got really underestimated early on. And, you know, I still think I get underestimated, which has been working to my, you know, my credit. So, I mean, whatever, if you underestimate me, that's your problem. I'm going to come in and say otherwise.
Hey, yeah, that's true. Because look, I know that sometimes, like you said, the transition from amateur to professional is a different thing. Like, amateurs, I know their pace of fighting and their rhythm of fighting is different. So yeah, when they come to the professional, you know, the professional side, it's like they're still fighting as an amateur sometimes. I hear they get burned out a lot, you know, because they're trying to fight at that pace, like on the amateur set, you know. So yeah, another thing, that's just a good point you brought up, that you kind of got the first hand to go straight in, and you know, people underestimate you, and sometimes that can be a good thing, right?
Exactly.
So going back real quick, like, when was the first time you really had to like defend yourself at growing up, like whenever you felt like it, I had to pick up some type of martial art like boxing or something where you had to use self-defense?
Yeah, I was living in Germany and I had to ride the city bus into to the school, and we lived like above a grocery store, so it's kind of weird. So anyways, I was the only person that got off on the stop. No one else got off on the stop. So when I was coming home one day from after school, these kids were kind of like, I don't know, it was just weird. Like, I think they had already been picking on me because I had like this really bright rainbow backpack. And anyways, one day I got off the bus stop and these like three kids got off at my bus stop too. And I remember thinking, this is wrong. Like, I just had this bad feeling that they shouldn't be getting off at the same bus stop I am. So I actually was kind of like weirdly street smart at that age. I didn't go to my home because I didn't really want them to know where I live. So I act like I was going to the park instead, and they were still following me. So, you know, when I went down to the park and stuff, they came back. Well, they wanted my book bag. And, you know, there's three of them, but I was like, you know, being the typical Briton that I am, I'm like, no, I'm not giving you my book bag. This is my book bag. So they ended up jumping me when I was that young. And like, I remember they like, I had an umbrella, and that was like, you know, so they like pretty much beat me up and held me down with this umbrella and then took my book bag. And so, you know, I fought back and everything, but obviously I just could, there's only so much I could do. So I had to walk back home and be all like, you know, my face all messed up and not have my book bag. And I just remember thinking like, damn, that sucks. I'm gonna get them back one day. Okay. And you know, so it never scared me. You know, I never even told, you know, when they asked what happened, you know, I felt like I would get in trouble for losing my book bag. So I was just like, you know, I fell when I was at the park, I was playing, and I felt like I kind of dusted it off. And so, you know, I was kind of one of those individuals that didn't want anybody to know or bring attention to the fact that I'm hurting more than, you know, people would realize. So it's kind of been like that since I was really young. But anyways, it made me be tough and who I was. And I kind of definitely took that, you know, every day, even as a kid, you know, practicing, rolling around. When anyone wanted to fight, I was definitely first up to, you know, because I felt like, yeah, even as a kid, you know, like, we play house wrestled all the time. Like, what we play fight, like, we played like the whole cops and robbers thing. Like, those were the games we played as kids, and we were naturally like, it wasn't being mean, but we would fight each other. And I feel like even that early on kind of helped me be as scrappy as I am now.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I had someone called me.
Okay, that's cool. All right. So moving on, I mean, we talked about your professional career in boxing so far, how you got into that. Like, how did you make the transition into bare knuckle boxing? And that's what a lot of people want to know.
Right. So it's crazy. I was actually, I had a fight in Atlantic City, a really big one. And they called, well, that's when the first time bare knuckle called me. And I said, no, I said, thank you. I have this fight going on in Atlantic City, but keep me in mind for next time. You know, thanks for the opportunity, you know, whatever. And, you know, I had the fight, and then after the fight, they called me back, and I was like, oh shit, I didn't really think that they would do that. And I was like, well, I don't know. I'll think about it, because I really want to be the best in boxing. I really want to get better. Like, I'm not done in boxing. I'm still not done in boxing. But, you know, they're like, well, we really believe in you, and we think that this is the place for you. And I mean, they really sold me on the fact that my style and that what I can do in bare knuckle would be big. And they weren't lying, because, I mean, look at it now. So it was Beck Rawlings. And I was like, you know, at first I was like, I don't care how much money you guys give me, I'm not getting murdered on freaking TV in front of people. Like, I'm not out here for the money or the fame. I'm out here to do the things that I can, you know, I can do. And I want to win, and I want to be the best at it. And it definitely got in my head, and I asked people, and some people were like, you know, that shit's crazy. And some people were like, well, fuck, why not? You know, you fight people for free all the time, like, you know, out back in the, you know, mud hole or whatever shit that we used to do growing up. So I was like, man, I thought about it. And I was like, if someone did really piss me off, I would probably go into the Walmart parking lot and beat them up for free and then probably go to jail. And I don't want to do that. So at least this is like, maybe this is my time. So I had no idea I was going to be the main event, nor did I know it was going to be for the Police Diamond Gazzetti belt. So that kind of just like snowballed into it. And it got way bigger than I ever thought. And because of that, I was like, oh, shit. You know, my training for that, like I was training myself, but I was like at a YMCA. I mean, I was like killing myself every day to make sure, like I quit and gave up everything for that fight. And it was, you know, I didn't win. It was a split decision, but it was something that definitely changed my life. And again, it was a moment. This is where I belong. And even losing, I still felt that. So, you know, I've been around and now I'm looking at my fourth bare knuckle fight, which I have to look on how many other, what the other females are, but I mean, I'm getting up there in my experience of BKFC's fights.
Man, that's crazy though. Like, you know, that being your fight with Beck Rawls, that I watched that fight and, you know, there's so many people in the comment section saying that that fight was close. A lot of people felt you won that fight. So everything you're saying you went through as far as training, and, you know, I've seen Beck fight before and like her performances, like in training, as far as her boxing skill as well, you know, that says a lot about what you did in there, you know, about your heart.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. So bare knuckle boxing and professional boxing, what's like the biggest difference that you noticed since you made the transition?
Really, I guess it's going to go to something like pretty basic is the clinch, because in boxing, you can't really, you know, clinch them and hold them because of the gloves. So you can do that in bare knuckle, obviously. So a lot of people that fight MMA think that they have the advantage going into boxing because they're, you know, MMA trained, they train the clinch. So they think that. To me, though, if you're a dirty boxer and fought on the streets before, we realize that you don't have gloves on and that you can do that. So I have that experience, you know, unfortunately having to, you know, either one, protect myself or being in the fights that I have, you know, anything goes, it's a fight. But, you know, really, that's the biggest difference to me. I know some people are really scared about their hands breaking. So you do have to pick your shots. You can't really just go in swinging. I mean, you can, but I mean, you see the fighters that do and they end up, you know, after the fight, their hands are swollen or they broke the wrist or something. So I think it goes into being like, trying, you know, you think bare knuckle's super tough, which it is, but you have to be smart too. And if you're not smart, you know, the tough ones can only last so long. I mean, at the end of it, you have to find out who's the bigger dog, and you definitely have to be a dog in it. But, you know, if you go in just swinging and not setting it up, you know, you're going to break something.
Mm-hmm. When you had your first fight, like that first round after you got settled in, was it kind of like, oh, this is easy? Was it a little bit easier? Like, did you just kind of settle in? Like when you threw your first punch and said, oh, this doesn't feel too bad.
It was actually, you know, there's some people that you'll hear the opposite. They'll be like, I went in there and got hit first time. I was like, oh, hell no, fuck that. But for me, it was like, oh, you know, and it's funny because there's so many clips in that fight that you'll see me just be like, and I'll be like, yep, I'm good. And, you know, just wipe, which I tell everyone, it just looked bad because my nose is bleeding. But I mean, right. Some people you can just flick in the nose and they'll bleed. So, you know, some of those things you got to think about, that they're not as bad as it looks. But to some people, shit, maybe it is. I mean, the girl I fought last time, I looked at her face and I was like, ooh, that actually really looks painful.
Yeah. So moving forward here, Paige VanZant coming over from the UFC to bare knuckle boxing. What was your first reaction to her coming to BKFC?
I thought it was great. I was like, wow, that's awesome. You know, they're attracting some big names, and, you know, especially for females, like, that's really cool. Like, I am a supporter of females, you know, if they don't disrespect me and do anything wrong to me, I'm a big supporter of female fighters and getting the same attention that men do, you know, equal attention, it would be great. So it was really cool thinking that Dave Feldman, you know, being the owner of BKFC, for him to, you know, be so proud about acquiring a female and working so hard for that. And I think it shows a lot about him and mm-hmm. his, you know, how he treats us as equals. So I think that that's cool. You know, and of course everyone blew my shit up being like, oh my God, Paige is signed. You're going to fight her. You're going to fight her. And I was actually like, yeah, I know. And I'm sure down the road we'll fight. Like, I don't know, but let her get settled in first, Jesus. But I mean, it just happened the way. So it's crazy that, you know, so I do give her props in some aspect facing me. But then again, now I said, I kind of feel disrespected because she thinks I'm easy. And I was kind of going more towards, you know, she shouldn't fight me because I'm not easy. So I thought she was really jumping in there fighting a hard opponent. But if she wants to think I'm easy, then she really messed up.
What, she was at your first fight, right? Not your first fight. She was your last fight, I mean, excuse me.
Correct.
Okay. And what was the process like to get this fight made? Was it kind of a long process to...
To me, it was extremely stressful, actually. It was really stressful. And I wish I didn't stress it as much. But then again, at the same time, you never know. So I'm happy and thankful for that, because it's like, you should always live your life not thinking, man, what if I did this? You know, what would have happened? And I don't have that right now. You know, sometimes I wish I didn't stress about it. But something in my heart told me that I was going to get that fight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then it was like, oh, this Jenny Savage girl, she was talking a bunch of stupid shit on social media, stirring the pot that was unnecessary. And they're like, well, I think she's going to go with her. And I was like, wait a minute. And then it was Rachel Ostovich. And oh, I think that's going to go with her. And I just wanted to know, like, it wasn't that I was mad that I wasn't getting the fight. It was not, it really wasn't like that. Like, and I'm definitely not, you know, whatever people want to say is just stupid. Like, I'm not clout chasing. I'm not anything. I've been in BKFC. I've fought people without even asking. I didn't ask to fight Beck Rawlings. I didn't ask to fight Christine Ferrer. And I didn't ask to fight Randine. They just give me a name. So when the opportunity presented itself and Paige was sitting ringside, you know, I went over there and said, you're fucking next. I mean, it was what it was. And she accepted it. So it's just the case is closed. But then they were like, well, I don't know. And it was like, damn. And it was Christmas. And it was like, I don't know where to do. Like, I don't know. Should I start camp? Do I need to do this? And, you know, how I'll train. And, you know, really the biggest thing wasn't even me being stressed. It was other people that were stressing me out, because you can't get sponsors. I can't go to a sponsor and be like, yeah, I'm fighting Paige and I need this and this and that. And then it'd be like, oh, well, Britton, you don't really have the fight, you know? So there's a lot of business things that go into that fight being made that was like, and I just had to be like, look stupid. Well, not look stupid, but I had to basically just shrug my shoulders and be like, I don't know. Like, I went on there. I want the fight. I'm fighting for it. I think I deserve it, but I don't know if I have it. And so when they finally told me on December 30th, it was awesome, because I had already made the decision to start training for Paige on Christmas Day. So I was like, that's what I'm doing Christmas Day. And I'm fighting Paige and I know it no matter what. And they confirmed it on the 30th. So, which was just 5 days later. But then, it, you know, it's been training hard as hell ever since.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you finally got the fight. Cause yeah, I remember that you did call out. And to me, like, when somebody calls somebody out, matchmakers got to make the fight ASAP, you know, cause that's like fighting words. Whenever somebody comes to the ring or you call somebody out, to me, that's like a done deal. For me, it is, you know, and the fans, everybody exactly. wants to see a fight like that. But I know you said you weren't done in boxing. Do you plan on juggling both? How's that going to work for you? How much how much longer do you feel like you want to stay in BKFC or bare knuckle boxing?
Oh, you know, well, you know, that is a tough one in some aspects, but then it's not. So I'm not done in boxing, but with BKFC, I don't know. I feel like I just, you know, I feel like I really have the moment here in the takeover. And, you know, I want to beat Paige on February 5th for Knuckle Mania. And then after that, I'm actually signed with a deal. I have a 3-fight contract with BKFC. So really, you know, it's going to be kind of up to them if I get to box in between fights, and they kind of get the first say. So, you know, it'll be exciting though that I have two more fights definitely with BKFC, but you know, I'd imagine I'm going to have to start going through these girls because they're acquiring a bunch of new ones. So I'm imagining that I have a lot to prove in BKFC, and there's still two belts on the line. So I'm coming for both of them. So whoever wants to step in my way and talk shit about it, I'm ready for it. I will fight you. I want those belts. So fair enough said. And then, you know, I guess we'll see, like, after, you know, how BKFC's schedule is on how many times they want me fighting. So if they want me fighting three times a year, you know, I think that it's appropriate for me to have two boxing matches. So I'm fighting five times, you know, which is a lot, but I'm used to it and I've done it before. And the way I'm thinking is, you know, my point to be proved is I'm going to be going in there, knocking people out, not getting any damage so I can take these fights again. So I want to be as busy as possible. So I guess that's my point, is I don't want to have a fight and then be like, oh, I'm just chilling, hanging out. Like, I want to go, I want to fight, and I want to get ready for my next fight. And I want to have that attitude moving forward for like the next like 3 years at least, and just be fighting as much as I can, and to set some records and break these barriers that are happening. And really, all these other girls that are sitting around, like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of boxers that I started with a couple of years ago, and I'm surpassing them, and they're better than me. But you know what they did? They're like, oh, I don't want that girl, she's too hard, or no, that fight doesn't make sense because they weigh this, or no, they're not paying me enough money. So they're sitting on the sideline. So now this one girl, like, I know, she's like, I think she's, when I fought her, it was her pro debut, and I want to say she's like 7-2 now. So that's 9 fights, and I'm looking at my 15th professional fight right now. So she went from, and she's an amazing athlete, she's incredible, but she only has 9 fights on her record, where I'm going into 15, and I'm going to be keep moving because I took those risks. So it just shows you, when you work hard and take risk, that you do slowly outwork, you know, that another awesome quote, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard. And I think that's what you're seeing right now. And now, you know, maybe where I didn't have the talent, I had the heart, you know, and I had the determination and I had the hard work. But now, because I've done all that, now I have the talent too. And so that's the point that I'm trying to prove now, is, you know, before, when you said, you know, you watched my fight, it's like, wow, that girl had a lot of heart. Fair enough. Awesome. I love being known as that. But I want people to say, wow, she has a lot of heart, and she is skilled, she is technical, she's a beast, she's a machine. I mean, I want so many more things added to that that come with skill. And so I'm just putting in all that hard work for that too. So I'm never going to lose the heart. You know, you can't teach that. That's something you have. But the other things you can be taught. And that's why I'm out here and in the gym every day. So as you can see, there's like heavy bags.
Yeah.
Speed bags behind me. So okay. I'm working on it, man.
Hey, look, that's why I got to say, I'm glad I talked to you again, because I appreciate fighters like you that want to take on the best, because like you said, you telling me that right there, I've talked to other fighters behind the scenes and they would tell me that they call people out, but people say, I don't want that fight because it's hard. To me, a fight's a fight. You got to take it. I mean, you can't really say, oh, somebody's too hard, I don't want to take that fight. To me, I just don't, it's hard for me to respect a fighter like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trust me. There's one girl, I can't even really say the details because it would be too obvious on who it was, but she turned down a fight that, I mean, I would be like, oh my God, I would jump at that chance to have that fight. And I would train. And her whole reasoning was like, you know, hey, I just don't think I'm ready for a fight like that. And it's like, you got 6 weeks. Go get ready. Go get ready. I would love to have that fight, you know, against a top level female fighter. Like, just to have that chance that, you know, you got to really believe it. But then it shows, you know, if you can't, I don't know. It's like no better time than now. You know, if you can't do it now, you know, just don't see where you're going to do it later, you know, because what happens later, you know, shit, you know how it is right now, like with COVID and everything. What if they shut everything down in a couple of months and no one's doing nothing? Or what if you get in like awful things? Like, I hate to say that, but it's the reality. Like, what if you're in a car accident in a couple of weeks and you're paralyzed? and you missed the opportunity to try something, and you didn't take that. So I don't know. It's the difference between me and a lot of people. But, you know, for me, you know, I think it really, it separates. And, you know, it's cool. Not everyone can be leaders. Like, we need followers too. So, you know, everything plays a reason. But for me, you know, it's just something I know that I would never, like, it separates the real fighters for the wannabes, or the ones that are doing it for truly for clout or attention, or maybe, you know, their families are forcing them and it's a family. But, you know, you never know. But there's all sorts of situations for everybody. I guess you just got to try to understand it and know that we're all the same, but we're all different too.
Right. So Paige Beck, they transitioned from MMA to bare knuckle boxing. Would you do the reverse? Would you go to boxing to MMA?
Honestly, I would. I really would. You heard it from my coach Luck in Danville, Virginia. He said it on this awesome little series, The Road to Van Sant versus Hart. And he was like, you know, so he's definitely in there saying Britain will be rolling on the mats, kicking the bags, doing this. I just like to fight. So really, that's what it comes down to. It. I really just love to fight. It doesn't matter if it's clinching, boxing, wrestling, rolling. I mean, I love striking, and boxing is my favorite, and, you know, so that translates into bare knuckle. But, you know, I would. I think that really I would be a great MMA fighter. The only thing is I don't really like being kicked. So if you kick me, I get really pissed off. So, and I'm not very good at throwing kicks. But, I mean, I like everything else. Like, I actually feel like my ground game is pretty good. So, I think that before I die and before my career is over, I think that it would be really cool to have at least one pro MMA fight and to see what I could do with it. But sure, I guess that would be, you know, who knows? Who knows when that would be?
Yeah, because, like you said, you got firsthand, you know, like bare knuckle boxing is closer to striking with those gloves in MMA. So, you know, you're already set with that. So, okay, yeah. I mean, I would like to see you do that as long as you really, really want to do it. I support that. So, moving forward here, how do you want to make that big statement? How you want to make that big statement February 5th?
I love what I have planned coming out for February 5th. So it's going to be great. You know, definitely watch it on Fight TV for Knuckle Mania. I'm definitely coming out strong and making a huge statement. I'm not going to let it go to the judges. So, you know, you have that to look forward to. I got a lot of things that I got to prove and shut down immediately, and I'm not wasting time on it.
Sounds good. What's your ultimate goal in boxing and bare knuckle boxing? What do you want that ultimate goal to say you fulfilled it whenever you're done with both?
Yeah, when I'm done, honestly, I want my name and my brand. I want to leave something behind that's going to last for like a really long time, like a brand and a legacy, and something like Muhammad or Mike Tyson, like something really real, like they set barriers with that people remember. And that's really what I want to do. So I want to be remembered as a fighter who worked from bottom to the top. And worked hard and had heart and never gave up and worked on so many things and motivated other people and made a difference. I really want people to think, wow, that girl made a difference in the world through boxing, through bare knuckle. And I really want that like a legacy. Like, you know, I want to be a legend. I want to be remembered. I don't want to be just, you know, one of the fighters. You know, there's a ton of them. I want to be a special fighter that someone remembers for a long, long time.
Okay, look, hey, I know you're on that path, though. You know, you're on that right path, and going into bare knuckle boxing. Look, more respect to you, because you know there's a lot of men that wouldn't take that risk. So you know, definitely a lot of respect to you for that. But like I said, I don't want to keep you. But before you go, I want you to, you know, shout out your sponsors, anybody you know that's been helping you in camp. You want to give them a shout out now. Go ahead, take the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you to you. Awesome. I mean, you're like the same as me, like that don't quit mentality. So I really appreciate you staying on top of me and doing this interview. It was really fun. Sure. So definitely thank you. I have to thank, you know, my coach Haas out here at Knuckleheads Boxing and MMA and everybody. Oh, there's so many amazing people in this gym and that are associated with this gym that are honestly making this camp like gold to me. You know, and then I have an amazing coach back home in Virginia, Marcus Luck with Luck's Boxing Gym. He has been nothing but supportive and you know, understands why I had to make this move and the growth and what I needed. And he's been nothing but supportive. And, you know, he helps me back home. He's really helped me become the dog that I am and really learning how to fight my ass off. So I definitely credit to him with the street smarts. But, you know, Veteran Farms, Fusion CBD products, Richie L. Tuck and Son, Afton Service Center. They're, you know, huge in helping me get out here. You know, the move to California was definitely not easy. So with them, Belet Organics, Hit 5, NutriFit, Healthy One, they've been really helping me be able to eat right and be healthy and recover. So super huge thank you to them. Royal Kratom, I really just like, they're going to be front and center on my sports bra for a reason. So they're definitely a big part of this and making this camp stress-free and taking all the stress off me. Kevin Smith with Smith Brothers Combat Sports is my manager. He has been working really hard and makes everything, you know, easy for me. I have amazing people like friends that have pitched in and they know who they are. They're says, you know, they've pitched in, helped me with particular items and things that are, I really needed. So again, I'm just so stress-free and blessed this camp. You know, back home, I have my two kids, Peyton and Paris. I just talked to my daughter yesterday on the phone and they're so supportive and so sweet. And I think that they just, I'm really excited just to show this, like, again, back to what you said, like, I want this to be more than about just me and what I want to accomplish, but paving the road for what other people can accomplish and what other people can get through. And I want that for my kids, like I would want for any child to know that they can make it through whatever the circumstances are. So I just really have to thank everyone who believes in me and has, you know, been part of this process, whether it was 4 years ago to now. It's an unreal feeling. And I feel like it's, you know, going to change my life. So I'm just so thankful. It means the world to me. So I'm getting emotional as it's getting close to it, but you know, okay. I really couldn't do without them. So thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. And once again, good luck February 5th. And before you go, just give everybody your name and let them know they can hear you on hashtag CB99Talks.
All right. So this is Britton Hart, and definitely catch this interview on hashtag CB99Talks. And it's going to be a great one.
All right, perfect. And once again, good luck. And don't be a stranger. Anytime you want to come back through, hey, the floor is open all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to, after I beat Paige, kind of go through what that feeling was like.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah, for sure. All right, man. Thanks once again, Britton, and be safe.
Awesome.
Bye. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.